I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
The Black Fat Femme Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC.
Welcome back, BFFs, to another episode of the Black Fat Femme Podcast, where all the intersections of identity are celebrated. I am one of your co-hosts, Jordan, also known as Joho, and I really thought Beyoncé would give us a break, but no. She then dropped a Vogue remix that officially adorned herself as House Mother. And I'm still shaking. John, what's good with you, boo?
Yes, well, you know, y'all know who I am. I'm John, also known as the one and the only Dr. John Paul. And I'm officially happy that we have made it to Pumpkin Spice season. I am the leader of the Pumpkin Spice tribe, and I am going to be inside the Starbucks marching along with all the Karens extra pumpkins. Isn't it good?
I'm an October baby. It is like my blood. I believe Pumpkin Spice. Mm.
Yes, it's still hot as hell out there, but we did it, Joe. We made it. Also, quick PSA. I have a quick PSA because I see all the dolls complaining on social media about me and my love for Pumpkin Spice. But I also see them on the socials complaining about how much we talk about Renaissance over here on the show. So I just wanted to say that if you are tired of us talking about Beyoncé all the time, you know, listen to something else. There's nothing really we could do about that. This is a Beyoncé supported podcast. We love her over here in the streets. And as long as that album keeps spinning and keeps giving us life in different variations and different ways.
What can we do about it?
And remixes. Like... what can we do? So it's going to be what it is. And you know what? Like Beyoncé says on America's Got a Problem, will we ever stop talking about her? No. Anyway, so I wanted to quickly say, I see that you let in this week and we're doing something special because this episode is sort of a reunion, like special episode for you, right? Oh, so I just wanted to go ahead and say, so you go ahead, take it away.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, y'all. I am so excited to take the reins in a bit this week and introduce our special guest today. This person is a dear, dear friend of mine, someone I've had the pleasure to work with and see flourish. He's an incredible photographer, and you've probably seen his work somewhere because it is giving Teen Vogue, it's giving Paper Magazine, it's giving New York Times, it's giving GQ France, okay? It's giving everything that we need and more. So please, please, please give it up for my dear friend, my sis, Tariq Carroll. Yes.
Yes.
Hey, y'all.
Insert claps, insert claps, insert claps. Oh, I'm so excited. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you all?
I think we're fantastic. Hanging in there.
Fantastic. But give us more. Beyond great, boo-boo, how are you? Like, real,
I am in a good space. I am in a really, really good space. I've been really spending the last few, weeks, really working on myself and getting to a really, really good space. So that's good. Something to celebrate.
We love to see it and hear it. Yes.
Yes.
I love that. Love that so much. I wanted to quickly shout out and say, so, you know, in the intro, we talked about everybody being mad about how much love that we keep giving this Renaissance Beyonce album. Tariq has on the box number 2 shirt. And so I keep trying to save mine for a special occasion. I don't know when that will be that I will wear it, but I just wanted to shout it out for those. I know y'all can't see us, but I definitely wanted to shout out that they got box number 2.
I figured it was appropriate. You know what I mean?
It is. So, see, it is.
People are complaining, but we give it to you every episode. So we don't know why you guys can complain about it. Like,
listen. Well, we're really happy that you're here. We're going to go ahead and jump into kind of the height of the show. You know what we always do around here. We are going to get into the part of the show where we talk about our positives of the week. Specifically, this segment, Still Here.
Pause. Side note, have you seen Tisha Campbell on the new Netflix show?
No.
What was it? No. Uncoupled with Neil Patrick Harris. Give her, is that a nope? Like, as a nope, you were not going to watch it?
No, I just haven't had time to watch anything. Okay, I was like, oh, no. So I didn't know she was on it.
Flash, I was like, is that Tisha Campbell? She is. She is still here. I live.
I love her.
I will say the one thing before we get into that, the one thing I will say about that woman is that she works. Mm-hmm. She will keep a coin. Kiki Palmer. Yes, all of them. They all keep money in their pockets. So I'm not going to even front. That's what this whole section is about, is a stand lifted and happy and keeping money and joy and happiness in our pocket as well. Yes, God. So Tariq, so you go first. Why don't you tell us a little bit about ultimately what song that you often maybe listen to or a song that you go to that keeps you lifted and maybe some of those moments when you don't feel like you have that zhuzh?
Well, there's a few songs, but okay. I would say right now, a song that's really resonating to me, I don't know if a lot of people would know it, but it's an album cut on Madonna's album Confessions on the Dance Floor. It's called Isaac. And there was these lyrics, and I didn't realize what the song was about until I was this year's old, 34. And, you know, the album came out when I was 17, but realizing the song is actually about doing shadow work. And the lyrics are staring up into the heavens, in the hell that binds your hand. Would you sacrifice your comfort, make a way to a foreign land? So it's really kind of shifting your mindset and pulling yourself out of the darkness to go into the light and to really, you know, be in the mindset to embrace the abundance that's coming your way. So that's a song that's really resonating with me right now, really heavily. But then also too, Thick is getting rotation, not to bring back to
it can't not to be Beyonce, the rotation, but and the rotation for that matter.
Right. It's a song that really makes me feel good about myself. So those two right now are songs that have really been kind of getting me through, because I've been in a really reflective space. Yes.
We love that for you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. John, how about you?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think for me, I obviously always know that I'm going to go back to something that is related to B, because she is ultimately my biggest inspiration outside of my mom and my partner. And I will say that going back to the song, you know, songs that make me feel like, you know what, you actually are a bad bitch, is really thinking about the song Bigger. And I will say this again, trigger warning for people. We do talk about ideation a lot around here about how how you may feel like you don't want to be here anymore. I will say that I was going through a really bad, and you knew this, you know this, Joho, we've talked about it, that right around 2021, you know, this time around 2021, I was dancing with the idea of like, this ain't for me anymore. Like, I gotta go. And then, you know, Beyonce drops. Actually, it was 2020 that the album came out? And then we got the visuals Black in 21. Yeah. So we got the album in 2020. Yeah. We got the album in 2021. Or we got the visuals in 2021. In 2020, when the actual album dropped, that's when we were going through the pandemic. We were going through everything. I emotionally was not in a good place. And I just was like, okay, check, please, God. And then the album came out and I heard Bigger. And it literally, like, I still cannot listen to that song without getting really emotional, because it's not even just the fact that it's Beyonce, but it literally feels like she is speaking directly to me in so many parts of that song. And so I will say that that song is specifically a song I revisit when I start to feel real low. And then the other, another song. So a lot of people, it's funny because I actually put this in the notes. Anytime, there have been moments where I have been very stressed or very down and I've gotten in my car and the first song that comes on is Bigger and I'm like, I hear you, God. Like, I hear you. Like, I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I hear you. Yes. I got this. But other songs that I will say, I'm a very huge, if you know me, you know that I'm also a very big Betty Who fan. And she just put out a song called Blow Out My Candle. Love that song because I love what it stands for. Basically, one of the lines in the song that's very, very personal to me, it says, you may put out my fire. It says, you can put out my flame, but you can't put out my fire. And it's this notion of like, you can try to take my light if you want, but I'm still going to have the passion to be here. Love her for that song. And then there's another song on her Betty album, which again, if y'all are not, people sleep on Betty Who. I just want to say this.
They really do.
Betty Who really makes good pop music. Good pop music. She has a song on Betty that she opens. I'm getting chills thinking about it. She has a song called Old Me. And it's just really this notion of like waking up and feeling like you truly love everything about who you are, where you are, what you're doing in life. I just love Betty Who for putting that out. So I shout out to Betty Who. We are fans. I hope that they one day get the shine that they truly deserve. What about you, Joho?
First of all, fans and stands, because Betty Who is really, I love Betty Who as well. When two of my friends got married earlier this year, after the ceremony, when they walked into the crowd and shit, they walked to Somebody Loves You, and I was like,
oh, I thought you were going to say Marry Me, and I was going to faint, because that is the song I want to walk down the aisle to.
I'm like, well, Kyle and Ben, if you're listening, next, maybe the vow renewal,
right,
do Marry Me.
Please, please. Yes.
But I will say for me, it's that song, You Gotta Be by Desiree from the 90s. I remember hearing this song at least once a week in the car growing up, building out with my mom. Oh, like, not me trying to sing, but you know what she gonna do today? Listen as your day unfolds.
Yes.
Challenge what the future holds.
Sing it.
I mean, it is like a word, a sermon in the car. Not just like, try and keep your head up to the sky.
Yes.
Like, okay, Desiree. So that's a song that whenever I hear it, like when I'm playing down, I'll say, hey, Google, play If You Gotta Be by Desiree. See my phone, trying to do it right now. You better calm down, Google girl. I know I'm talking about you right now. I also would say Video by NDRE. I mean, just because it's NDRE, like the queen of manifestation since the 2000s and 90s. Get into it, y'all. She really is everything. I can play probably any song from her and be immediately uplifted. So
and
those two for sure.
I want to shout out, they are friends in my head. They are actually friends of friends that I know, but they are friends in my head. Lewis York, they did a remake on their album, what is it called, Griots, anyway, they have an album that just recently came out, and they did they closed the album to that song, and they
video
no to You Gotta Be.
Oh,
and it's one of the best remakes remakes, in my opinion. There's a lot of musicality to the song. They're very musical, and we all know them. They're writers. They've written everywhere for everybody. But ultimately, the song has a lot of musicality to it, and it adds a different spin and flair to the song, which I absolutely love. So yeah, Lewis York, they remade it on their last album. You should all go listen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait to hear it myself. Ooh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, fam. The paparazzi is knocking on doors right now to ask us about something we said last week, the episode. So we gotta go, Laura, real quick. We'll be right back with Tariq, y'all.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Okay, and we're back, fam. So this week we have Tariq Carroll, an acclaimed photographer and fat liberationist, on the mic with us. We can go ahead and dive into a story and accolades with him real quick. Tariq, I want to ask you, when did you first recognize that you could use your lens to uplift and showcase a true range of diverse bodies?
Oh, wow. Okay. So in 2016, I was in a really, I guess, transformative space mm-hmm. in my life. And, you know, I had an experience. I had an experience that kind of really opened up my mind to a lot of things. I had experience with another plus size man, mm-hmm. you know, for the first time. And that was the first time, like, dating somebody of that body type, you know. And I was in a space where I didn't like myself very much. And when I had that experience with that person, it kind of really opened my mind to really start to examine, wow, I've excluded this body type out of my dating pool. This is someone who looks like me. Mm-hmm. And what do I then think about myself? And that was why I started to do a lot of unpacking of all of the things that have been thrown upon me as a child. I've always been chunky. I've always been big. And just those sorts of not feeling desirable, those sorts of not feeling good enough, those sorts of not fitting in, you know what I mean? So having that experience really opened my mind to really unpack some emotions and to really look in the mirror and really analyze and really break down what do I really think about myself. And in that, you know, I started to have conversations with a lot of my friends, and, you know, most of my friends are queer men. And we just really got to sit down and really talk about issues that we dealt with as far as like body image issues. So that kind of started to influence my work. And then on top of that, around that time, the term body positivity was new for me. And like most of us, you know, we started that journey to research and starting to find resource materials to see people who looked like us, to see people that we could connect with. Yeah. And the first thing that I saw was an ad that American Eagle had did back in 2016 called Ari. They were doing an underwear campaign that was supposed to be inclusive, showcasing a wide spectrum of men, different body types, you know, and it was a really cool looking ad, but it ended up being an April Fool's joke, a marketing ploy.
Wow, I never knew that.
And the model,
Oh my God.
Google it. It's on the internet, and the models weren't even in on the joke.
Wow.
So, wait, seriously?
Yeah.
I'm really shook a bit at hearing that. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I see you, Amy. I see you.
Uh-huh. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, because seeing the images, I was inspired. But then to see that it was an April Fool's joke, I was like, what's funny about this? This is something that we need. Right. It was something that I needed. And that kind of encouraged me to really lean in and really use my skills. Because at that point, was it 2016? I'd been shooting for like about 8 years at that point. You know, I had done campaigns and a bunch of stuff. So I was like, what if I take my lens of what I've been doing with thin, muscular bodies that have been pushed to the forefront, that are celebrated all the time? What if I take all of these skills and highlight people, not necessarily all people who look like me, but to highlight a more broader spectrum of body types? And that really encouraged me to really lean in and start doing that work, because no one else was doing it at the time. There were some body positivity campaigns out there at the time, but a lot of them, they weren't necessarily fashion focused. And I'm a fashion photographer, so let me take what I've been doing all these years, helping all these thin models get work, and let me bring this into this new space and hopefully be able to build a sense of community. And that was kind of how I got into the Everyman Project. And it took me the Everyman Project and then just the work that I shoot in general, pretty much. Right. And it took me a while to really lean in and start doing that work, because I knew eventually I then would have to be at the forefront. People have to see me. People have to hear me talk. You know what I mean? Because I always had a feeling that what I was doing, it had the potential to go viral. And that wasn't, and I wanted it to go viral because I know that we needed this. You know what I mean? So, but I knew that once it would, I would have to be at the forefront to be able to talk about it, to be able to do interviews. And I still was unpacking how I saw myself. So there was a lot of hesitation to even start doing the work, because I was still healing. I'm still healing now. You know what I mean? Years later, we all are. Right. You know, but
it's the journey.
It's the journey.
I live.
Still on the journey. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, that's pretty much that's how I got into doing the work that I'm doing now.
That's so awesome. And I will say, you know, as someone who is, you know, even in thinking about it, so this this Friday I'm doing something, and you know, I've been reeling back and forth with how am I gonna look on camera, right? Mm-hmm. And constantly thinking about that. And so I appreciate that there are fat photographers like yourself out there who are saying, I want to make sure that we are getting that good shot. And so something mm-hmm. I think about mm-hmm. often, right, as I think about myself and I think about other folks, is how rarely bigger queer bodies are shot with love. And I think about mm-hmm. for, you know, with your project, this is something that I see in every single photo, whether it's the closeness of the models or whether it's the way that they are positioned, if it's the lighting. There's so many different things that I guess as a Black fat femme that I see in photos, when I see someone like yourself take the photo versus just a random, you know, straight cis photographer who takes the photo, I can mm-hmm. see the love in the photo. And so I wanted to ask you, kind of like, there has to be an element of like intentionality, right? When you bring Absolutely. The models in, when you think about how you're going to shoot it. So why that intentionality? Like, out of all the things you could be doing in this industry, why the intentionality behind your work?
Because it's what we deserve. Love and
okay, yes,
this is what we deserve. It's a simple answer I can give, but to go a little bit deeper into it, you know, I grew up being a huge fan of David LaChapelle mm-hmm. and his lighting and his set design and how he would really make all of the celebrities that he would shoot feel larger than life. Yeah. And also a huge fan of Merton Marcus and their photography and a lot of other photographers, you know what I mean? And like, I was always the kid who would, you know, go to the international magazine shops. I would get Vogue France, GQ France, because I always felt, you know, the European magazines, they had more of an interesting aesthetic mm-hmm. that I gravitated to. And I was doing work that I was not happy doing, if I'm being completely fucking, I don't know if I, can I curse
you? You sure can. Girl, you better cuss.
Okay.
Cuss, please cuss.
Please.
If I'm being completely fucking honest, I did not like the work that I was doing. The work that I was doing for a while, I was just shooting, you know, agency models and getting paid pretty well for it. But I felt really like unfulfilled by the work that I was doing. And I was really, even in my personal work, I wasn't really doing as much personal work. And the personal work that I was doing, I couldn't see myself in.
Right.
So that's another thing that inspired me to get to really shoot work that had the intention that really showed like care, lighting, spectacle, like making everything feel like grand and big, because it's what we deserve. Yeah. And we've not been seen in that light, in that editorial lens, in that larger than life sense, like, and really like getting cool clothes, having cool concepts, you know. And a lot of times when you see body positivity, it's a lot of nudity. And I love that, you know what I mean? But also too, we look good in clothes as well.
Right.
Mm. So it's for me, find the balance of showcasing all of that, being super intentional, coming up with concepts that really made a statement, but also to come up with concepts where the models felt good doing it and then felt good leaving the shoot knowing that they did something that really felt uplifting. So even down to color choices, posing, you know, color palettes, styling, hair, makeup, I pull from a lot of my references that I had growing up. And again, it's what we deserve. We deserve to have shit that looks and feel expensive yeah. on mm-hmm. us. Like, we deserve that. And it's kind of being done, but not really as much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm doing my work,
yes.
essentially.
Yes.
Tariq said, ooh, Tariq. I am yeah. very rich. Hit me with the Nene Leakes. I am very rich.
I am doing the work.
Yes,
you know?
I live.
Oh my God, Tariq, thank you. Thank you for that answer. And thank you for, I appreciate so much of how you are
talking about this through lens of fashion of like, we do look good and we need to, and we, it's important that we know we look good in this. And it really leads into my question, because I first became familiar with your work when you launched the Everyman Project, which I believe featured all people assigned male at birth, black and brown folks, and with all plus size and fat bodies. And you had, you had some, you had some noble folks in there like Marquise and AD, who have gone to really new heights in terms of Molly and content creation. And I believe that that, that that shook the ground, because it flipped, I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, it flipped the ever iconic like Calvin Klein ads on its head by putting folks in of larger bodies in Calvin Klein fits, which I saw that and I was like, I have never seen myself in that. And now I got to do it, which was so, I mean, I mean I'm waiting for my turn to be in it. But like,
bitch, me too.
It's happening.
It was giving something, it was giving possibility that I never knew existed. Right, so I want to hear more about the ideation of that project, and particularly what you think its impact is still today.
I think a lot of people don't really realize how much the Everyman Project was on the ground floor of a lot of this shit. You know what I mean? And I started the project in 2017. I had been gestating the idea in 2016. I actually met Marquise in 2016, back when I had my own office at WeWork. And like, when I looked up body positivity on Instagram, Marquise was the first person for men. Marquise was the first person that popped up, and I was just really drawn in by his style, his confidence, and you know, the way he would wear his makeup, like the way he would own his femininity, boldly, brazen, confident. And him, you know, he's a Leo. That's Leo energy. You know what I mean? That's what they're all about. You know? Yes. Yes, all the Leos, all the fire signs in the house. Put your hands up.
A resident Leo right here.
Yes. You know, so I met him in 2016. And then April 2017 was the first shoot that we did. And I didn't have a name for the project. I didn't know what I wanted to call it. So even when I go back and look through old files, it would say Body Positivity Concept Shoot 1. Like, it did not have a title. And then eventually... came up with the title. My friend Mackenzie Fry actually suggested, why don't you call it the Everyman Project? And it just kind of clicked. I was like, yes, let's do that. And put it out into the world. And a lot happened in 2017, because I think the world was kind of ready for it, you know? And because I firmly believe in alignment. I think the world was ready for it at the time, but at the same time too, I didn't give a fuck if the world was ready for it or not. I was ready to make my statement through my art. And we put the project out, and then about a month or so later, I had a publicist reach out to me, Robert Suarez. They're everything. They actually run a really cool PR agency that specializes in elevating queer artists. So Robert, they reached out and, you know, they said, hey, I love what you're doing. Do you guys need PR? And I was like, well, yes, but I don't necessarily have a budget for PR. But we were able to do some things off of, you know, do trade at first. And, you know, even when you have a publicist, you can do a pitch and nothing can hit. It can go nowhere. Robert did a pitch, and within days, we had Mike.com, People Magazine, logo, all interested.
It's
spread like wildfire. Then what happened in this is September 2017, a trend forecasting brand called WGSN. And to my people in the fashion industry, you guys may know what they do, but what WGSN does, they do trend forecasting for all of the major brands, LVMH, Adidas, Macy's, Harrods out in the UK. They all pay WGSN $30,000 a month for them to tell them, these are the trends that are coming.
Damn.
And this is what you all need to be aware of, down to color swatches, down to everything. Wow. So they interviewed myself and Marquise, and the brand coordinator at the time of Boohoo Man. They interviewed the three of us about body positivity and the changes that the industry needs to make and the consequences of what can happen if you don't do it. So we had a very candid conversation. They had very dense questions for us. And we really went in. You can pull it up online. It's on YouTube. And we were very straightforward about, you know, the changes that we need to see. Put that out in the world. And I didn't even know at the time what the hell WGSN did. I was like, okay, cool. It's an interview. Let's do it. I didn't know that that video that we did went straight to all of those brands. Mm-hmm. So that means not just the interview, all of the Everyman Project, all that stuff was used as resource materials. Yeah. And that went to all of those brands. So now we come to 2018. We're seeing Calvin Klein bringing, you know, they're making changes. We're seeing, you know, Gillette, you know, showcasing more. But so it's a lot of we influence a lot of stuff. I'm gonna take it. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna talk my shit.
I'm going to talk my shit. And I do feel like that Everyman Project was very influential, especially in bringing men of all experiences into the conversation of diversity and inclusion. Mm.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I think for me, it's... So you said something in your story that I think is so important right now, because you said, you know, you were talking about alignment, and that hit me in a way, and this is totally off the script. Mm. But it hit me because I think sometimes we, I had seen somewhere on social media, someone talking about no matter what that thing is, create it and just put it out into the world. And even if you're fearful that it's out into the world, at least you put it out there, right? Like, there are a lot of people who have these really dope ideas, and because they're so afraid of, oh, this is not the right time, or I don't know how the world's going to respond to it, they wait. And I even think about that with this show, right? Like, for years I had thought about doing this specific show, and then, you know, obviously things aligned and it got, you know, involved with iHeart and things. But I think about it, right? If I would have sat on this idea and not put the pitch out, where would we be right in this conversation of now we're starting to see Black Fat Femmes, you know, not only latching onto the show, but we're also seeing them latch onto us as you know, individual and people saying, we are so happy that you are who you are and what you're doing. And so I want to say this to you, kind of in the vein of us obviously interviewing you, thank you for putting it out into the world when you did, because I think that there are so many folks like myself, someone like myself, for who years beat themselves up over the way that their body looked and struggled to try to look the quote unquote man way, right? When the Everyman Project came out, I was like, wait a second, why am I killing myself to try to look a certain type of way when I can just be happy with who I am? And so I think that that was timely. It may not have been timely for you, but it was definitely timely for me. And I really appreciate you putting it out when you did. And so kind of thinking about that now, right? Like, so sis, you've been everywhere. I just want to say, like, you's international. Yeah. Sis, you international.
I might be.
Yes, bitch. Perhaps. So what is it like? tell us, like, what is it like for you to have like a photo exhibit in NYC, to know that people over in France might know who you is? Like, I get excited when I see people like in Malaysia listening to our show. Like, I know it's got to be exciting for you.
It is exciting. So my gallery show actually was in Indianapolis. It was an artist residency. So I had a chance to go to Heron School of Arts and Design, and I had an exhibition up for a whole month, and the show was called Everybody is a Good Body, the Reformation of Beauty Standards. And
go off.
They reached out to me at the end of 2021, and they were like, we love your work. We want to bring art to, you know, our school, to really into our city, to truly like shape the table. And everything was right. Everything was in alignment. And what I am so appreciative of is not only the space that they gave me, the creative freedom that they also gave me. And on top of that, too, the experience that I had being able to sit down and talk to college students that were photographers, that were looking to make their mark on the world, and also to having the opportunity to talk to art therapy classes, because how I was even nominated for the artist residency, because They only do that once a year. So,
wow.
You know, so next year there'll be someone else. So, I was nominated by Joseph Mella. And then, oh my gosh, I feel so bad that I'm blanking out.
Okay. Honestly, you're remembering a lot of names. You are giving us a tutorial in how to thank those who got you here.
Right.
I'm just like, God, that's all I can think of. My mama?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
I need to get it together.
Right. So also Eileen, who was the head of their art therapy department, mm-hmm. also nominated me as well. And she told me that she was using the Everyman Project as resource materials to help treat their clients and students that had eating disorders. Mm. And I never knew that my work was that influential, even with all of the, you know, accolades that I've...
The flair.
Mm-hmm. But to know that my work was being used to really help heal people who were dealing with eating disorders, to be able to have, like, sit down with classes, art therapy classes, and talk about these things, talk about things that's going on in media, talking about brands who are trying to be inclusive and they're not really doing it the right way. So I felt so inspired by this new generation, Gen Z, because they really asked all of the right questions. And I was so grateful to be there and be present in that moment and answer those questions for them. And I was able to see myself in a lot of those students because I was 18, 19, just picked up my camera and wanted to make a mark on the world. And I didn't necessarily know what my creative voice was. And to be able to talk about my practice and talk about what I do and how I started out just like them. And it was a really beautiful experience. Like, I'm not going to lie. And that definitely was very career changing for me in the best way possible. And still taking it in.
As you should.
Yes.
Get your flowers, honey. Get your flowers.
For real, Tariq. Yes. Like, you know what? Like, what I'm hearing is you know your work is transformative and you know your work is impactful. It's special to hear you recognize that it is healing, that it is, that's personal. Like, your work is personal, and not just your work, but you yourself. Like, you are transformational and you are personal. Like, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about your fat liberation work, and not through a lens of work, but through the lens of you, because I often think about the conversation we had in your Airbnb in LA years ago when we first met in person, talking about desirability and fat bodies. And like you and your words helped me understand my internalized fat phobia and learn how I find bodies desirable. And that pushed me towards fat liberation work, and not just body positivity, but made me recognize I want to do fat liberation, not just BOPO work. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. And I want to ask you, how do you express fat liberation as a Black fat femme? When you put down the camera, how do you express it yourself as a BFF, as our BFF?
That's a really good question. So, and I was just talking to my friend about this actually right before I got on the phone with you guys. And, I'm still doing the work. You know what I mean? I'm always
we all are.
So transparent to everybody that journey. I speak to. It's the journey. I'm so transparent to everybody that I speak to. I'm like, I am still doing the work. I am still suffering from the same shit that you all do. And I'm unpacking my own shit still, you know?
Right.
And in unpacking my own shit, and also to doing the work of the Everyman Project, it's also helped to heal me. You know what I mean? Because in 2017, being thrown into the front of this and having to do all these interviews, it gave me really deep anxiety because even though I was preaching for everyone to be their most authentic self, I was still figuring out how to really embrace and fully be my authentic self. Even in queer spaces, even in dating, you know, and not feeling like I have to pull back and like hide parts of my personality, hide parts of my feminine side. You know what I mean? Like, I've now gotten to a space where I just don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, and I just truly I'm a space now where I'm getting closer to fully be my full authentic self. You know what I mean? And just being present and just living out loud. Like, I got my nails done. I had like acrylic tips for the first time like last year, you know? And that felt like such a liberating experience for me, because growing up with a father who is a super macho basketball coach, I grew up with a lot of toxic masculinity in my life. Mm-hmm. And looking back at my 17-year-old self and from where I'm at now, you know what I mean? I would have never imagined I would be out here in lace shirts with stiletto nails and honestly just not giving a fuck and just really leaning into being my most authentic self. And more I started to shed those layers, and like, you know, fashion was a huge way where I really was able to really express myself and really lean into being as authentic as possible. Fashion, like putting together looks that I'd never really dreamed of doing without worrying about any gender binaries, and just saying fuck the rules and just be me, because I'm becoming more and more in tune with my feminine side, but I'm also in tune with my masculine side as well, and I embrace both sides of me equally, and I'm learning to love on both of those sides as equally, you know. And in embracing my own authenticity, I feel a lot more free. And in feeling more free, I can be so much more present when I'm meeting new people, because I don't feel like I have to put myself in any box, or I don't have to worry as much as about what these people are going to think about me, because I don't give a fuck anymore.
Testify. No, I fucks with that so hard, because I think the one thing that I have really learned in the last 2.5 years, for years I was always worried about how I showed up, and Joho, I don't know if you feel this way too, but like kind of always censoring yourself, right? Censoring how you show up. Yeah, you censored yourself a lot. And then finally, maybe like a year ago, I was just like, that's your fucking problem. You don't like the fact I'm feminine. You don't like the fact that I got nails. You don't like the fact that I don't show up the way that you want me. That's on you, bitch. Like, I don't have time. I don't care. And I think when you start to move like that, you get people who see your authenticity as, wow, they're showing up as liberated. And I think that's what scares people. I think one of the, you know, the question in fat liberation, right? We talk about positivity, right? But I'm in this place now where I'm like, I'm trying to move towards liberation, and I think that liberation scares people, because what, your whole life you're taught to be censored, you're taught to live in a box, you're taught to only show small blips of your personality, of who you are. And so when you are fully liberated, right, when you show up and you say, yes, this 4x was made for me and I'm gonna stun in it, you know, this 3x fits me cute and I'm a rocket, it makes people nervous, because it's, they don't know what to do with it.
We don't know how to do it. It's hard to be free.
So one of the things, go ahead Tariq, sorry.
For me, like, the difference between body positivity and fat liberation is like, body positivity is for yourself, like for your inner work, for you to feel good about yourself. Speaking fat of liberation is what's going to change the world, you know what I mean? Like, you can't take body positivity to the government to advocate to stop killing us. You can't, you know what I mean? You can't take body positivity to the government to have them reassess the BMI in the index. Okay. That's a whole nother road we could go down. Okay. You know what I mean? You know, and how that was created and how inaccurate that is. You know what I mean? So that's the difference. And both are necessary. You know what I mean? But I'm glad that we now have the term fat liberation, because now that term is more prevalent, that is something that I feel that I identify with more, but body positivity is still important. You know what I mean? But I think both go hand in hand, but one can more so make worldwide changes and others more so for changes within the self.
I love that. And so you out here, since you dropping gems left and right, like Miss Holograms, I wanted to ask you, you know, we ask this often to our guests, and that's the one thing I will say, you know, I go back and forth daily about asking, you know, when people ask me questions, because I get this question a lot, like, John, how, you know, in a world that honestly hates every facet of who you are, we all know that the world hates all of our intersections, right? How do you still find yourself lovable in the community, whether it be the Black community, the fat community, the Black fat community, whatever? But what has helped drive that love, right? Like, how do you continue to hold on to the love of self when you feel like the world in so many different capacities is trying to rip that away from you? And so wanting to ask you, like, what are some of the things that you've learned in your journey that has served you in protecting you so that way you can manifest that love, if that makes sense?
Mm. I think the key is finding your tribe.
Yeah.
That is the key. The key is finding your tribe, finding a tribe of like-minded individuals that pour into your life just as much as you pour into them, and having people around you that truly love you and see you for who you are, and keeping those people around you, keeping those people close to you, and protecting those relationships, because that's what's going to get you through the muck. That's what's going to get you through the chaos, is having that chosen family, because a lot of us, we have chosen families, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's really keeping those people near and dear to you, and encouraging each other to elevate and encouraging each other to embrace their most authentic selves, you know? And I think that is the key. I'm grateful that I found my tribe. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, I love that. And I will say I found my tribe here. And it's, again, I hate that this is an episode where I'm feeling so emotional, but I do genuinely want to say, like, while you two know each other, I don't know you, but I'm just so grateful that you exist in this world as your authentic self. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you're doing the work that you're doing. I'm grateful that you have not let such a toxic industry take your gift away, because that's the thing. That's the thing that I really wanted to highlight. That was the reason why we started this show, was I wanted to really highlight the ways that we hold on to the parts of us that are so beautiful in a world, in an industry specifically, that is so nasty, so rude.
It is hard. It's hard because to turn back to what you just said, I've been to the place of, I don't want to do this shit anymore.
Right.
You know, and if I'm being completely honest, especially during the pandemic, you know, I really, dealing with shit before the pandemic, and then when the pandemic hit, it just made everything tenfold. So it's really hard to create content that encourages people to love themselves when you're not in a good space. And I did have to take a step back for safety issues as well, you know,
true.
Most of our campaigns, we would have like 13 models on set, 2 makeup artists, a stylist, 3 assistants. And when COVID happened,
you couldn't do that.
I didn't want to pivot. Everyone was doing like the FaceTime photos. I didn't want to do that shit. I wanted to be around my people. And, you know, my team, they did want me to pivot and do more like Instagram lives and things like that. And I love a good IG live. I love doing this. I love what we're doing here today. But mentally, I was not in the space to do any of that. You know, my dad had gotten really sick during the pandemic, you know, and it was not looking good for him. And dealing with that, with a lot of other stuff, like, I was just not in the space to create. Yeah. And I had to take some time away from doing that. But even before then, you know what I mean? Like, the industry can really just suck the life out of you. Baby. It can suck the light out of you. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful that I had my tribe that would always encourage me and also would show the kindness and softness. Like, you know what? Take your time, but when you're ready, you need to get back to this, you know? And I'm grateful that I have those people around me that keep me in check and make sure that I'm okay, and they check in with me and, you know, make sure that I'm okay, you know, mentally, you know? And now I'm in a space where I've been getting back to doing more shoots with the project. You know, we did a few things in 2021, and then we kind of started doing some more things this year, but it's a slow reactivation. Not that we fully stopped, but, like, again, if I'm being completely transparent, it is really hard to come up with those concepts that, because for me, I do everything with intention. I'm not going to just do some shit just to do it. You know what I mean? So I have to be in the space, because if I just put some shit out and the intention is not there, people are not going to be able to connect with it the same. So it made sense for me to take that step back and to heal and honestly, COVID. Like, that's really more than enough to say. It's COVID fucked real. Up a lot. Mm-hmm. So
it is still a thing.
You know, it's still a thing. Feeling it.
Yeah. We are still feeling it. And Solange tells us, right, do nothing without intention. And I really appreciate that you say that because, you know, one of the questions that I did have, and I'll make it more of a statement than a question, is, you know, a lot of times, especially, and so I this is not a dig to Old Navy, but this is sort of me just kind of calling them to the carpet, right? So this whole body this body positivity thing that companies like Old Navy and a few others are doing, you know, while I appreciate it, right, there are still so many gaps in the conversation. And so I appreciate that you're saying, I'm not just going to curate a space for Black fat bodies or Black fat femmes just to do it. It has to be intentional. And I think that's the thing that so many people need to learn is that we're not asking you to give us, you know, space to just give us space. We're saying we want full thought. We want you to have your full energy, your mind. We want you to be present with us, right? Mm-hmm. When we're in spaces with you. And I love that you say that because it's going to teach a lot of people in different roles, specifically companies people who are in companies that are much larger than, you know, what we've all been doing, because we all deserve it. But I truly believe that this notion of being mindful about how we curate is so important. All right. Well, with that being said, will you stick around with us for our next segment? You gonna stick around with us for the show?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. All right. Cool. So what we're going to do real quick is we are going to take another break. And this is, I'm going to go ahead and take a couple of selfies in the mirror because I know that I know that I look good. And I appreciate Tariq being the one who has helped me to feel that way.
Yes.
And
when we come back,
we're going to get into some topics that have been ruining Black friendships since the beginning of time.
Oh my
we'll
God.
Be Black.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
All right, everybody. So we are all black in here today. And for the next segment, right, we're going to go ahead and talk about what's on your plate. Obviously, we've been talking about looking good and feeling good. But one of the things that we talk more about is how we feel good once a plate is put in front of us. Right.
Okay.
And so we're officially halfway through our first season. And yes, I wanted to go ahead and say, yes, we did it, Joe. I've been saying that all week. We did it, Joe. So let's shake the table and keep it all the way black for some of the folks that have been waiting for this episode. And I will say that we are going to actually do, I've been getting this to somebody's like, when are y'all niggas going to do a full food episode? It's coming.
It's coming.
It's in the canon. We've been dancing around it all season, but we are dreaming it up. It is coming. We will have a couple of chefs in the room. We are going to talk about black food, soul food specifically. So it's coming. But for this week on What's Your Plate, Joe Ho threw out the idea of us getting into some black soul food hot takes.
I love drama.
And so I wanted to go ahead and start to shake the table. And I'm just going to say, I want to ask y'all, what are y'all black food, soul food hot takes? Mine are that I think no matter how you slice, dice, cook, bake, do anything with the sweet potato, they are nasty, period. There's nothing that you can do to a sweet potato to make it taste good outside of pie. Now, I will eat sweet potato pie.
Okay.
I don't think pumpkin pie is good. I will eat sweet potato pie, but I am definitely not trying to put some sweet potatoes next to my chicken.
How the tables turn, Miss Pumpkin Spice Queen, but she said not pumpkin pie queen.
Okay. No.
Okay. I see you. Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to just go ahead and mute myself because I already know I'm about to get a whole bunch of hate mail.
There are
a lot of black people who think that they can make good potato salad and good mac and cheese, and it's not as good as you believe it to be. Joho, Tariq, what is your takes?
I need a moment. Okay. Tariq, you take this bitch, please, before I...
Okay, well, after the apparent disrespect to sweet potatoes, I might have to leave now because I'm offended.
I'm like, not you signing off.
Oh, no, joking.
That's our show. Thank you so much, y'all. We'll be back next week.
Shout out to everybody. John Walt, I had fun.
Shout out to everybody. I had fun. Yes, I live. But go off. What are yours?
Okay. I do agree with you on the potato salad and the mac and cheese because everybody ain't able. I've had some bad mac and cheese. And I think if you're not able, don't. You know? Just don't.
But then that pins the question, what makes a good mac and cheese?
Yes, yeah. What I mean,
okay,
the
so
ancestors
like,
is what makes it, but like, what makes it able for you?
So, you said, what is able?
What is able?
Okay, so it has to be the right consistency. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yep.
On top of it, too, like, do not use no pre-shredded pat cheese. Like, you need to get the block cheese.
If you ain't get some
and shred that shit.
Shredding this yourself. Get out of the kitchen. Get out
or
the kitchen.
Using or what is it? What is that machine that does it for you?
That little thing you spin and shit? That little like spinning one?
No, you can actually put it in. We have one and I forget what it's called. But it's an actual machine that you can just shove the blocks of cheese into.
So pass it my way, baby.
No, my husband can cook. Thank you very much. But I will say there is a food processor. That's what it is. You can just throw it into a food processor.
You're right.
Okay, yeah, that packed cheese is not it. Like, do not use that packed cheese for no mac and cheese. And then when people start putting, like, some people trying to get Velveeta. Real fancy, it's not I had an aunt who would put Velveeta in her mac and cheese. And it's just like, no, get you some real cheese. I'm sorry, get you some sharp cheddar. Get you some regular cheddar. Get you some Gruyere.
If you use a mix of cheeses in there, like...
Yeah.
Bitch, you better have the whole farm in that mug. Like,
it's got to have
at least three or four under the sun. Like,
yes, it does. And I used to not be of the mac and cheese diaspora, but it was only recently as I've gotten older that I've actually started. It was something about the consistency of the cheese and the noodle that I didn't like. And then as I got older, I was like, actually, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. And then my husband makes it. My sister makes a really good one. My mom, obviously my mom can cook because I didn't get the size by not being raised by Edwina. But yeah, we shout out, we lift up Weena here at the show.
I can't wait to try your mac and cheese, mama.
Yes. My mom can cook. My mom and my husband are the two best cooks that I know outside of Joho. I know you can cook down Joho. But I was gonna say, I think it's yes, consistency, but I will say that I am one of those people who just recently came into the mac and cheese like lover's lane, if that makes sense.
Okay. Tariq, give us a new hot take, because I'm tired of y'all shit on mac and cheese like this. Give me a new hot take. I can't do this. No, iteration dance right now.
Okay, so a new hot take. Okay, like I know some people don't like when their food touch on their plate, but like I'm really into like bad bitches linking up. So
yeah.
when the yams kind of touch the mac and cheese, like that's kind of erotic.
That's not me.
That's not me.
John was like, you had me and you lost me.
You had me and you lost me.
You had me with the sweet potatoes, so.
Yo, but
you
I will
you
say
you
there's
me with the sweet potatoes.
But I will say there is something very sexual about when the turkey touches the cranberry sauce.
Oh, my God. That too.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I get tingles. Just all of my parts nasty. Tingle. Nasty. Yes. Yes,
said,
Lord.
Bad bitches link up. Link.
Yeah. Oh, man, they link. Ooh, and then sometimes you take. So why don't we do this? I'm just so excited for Thanksgiving already, and it's barely July. When you take the turkey and you put the cranberry on top of it with a little bit of mac and cheese, and then you put it in the roll. Bless my life, God, Lord Jesus, bless me with the tums. Yes, God, my stomach. Why what buddy? About you, Joho? What are your hot takes? Is you over here calling shots?
Oh my God. Oh, sorry, I need to process. That was just okay. I see both of y'all. I see you, John. I know Thanksgiving's at your house this year. I'm gonna see y'all.
Y'all can come through.
No, it's fine.
We ready.
I will not, as John says, we don't yuck anyone's yums here, allegedly, but it's okay.
Alleged.
My hot take, I would say, okay, like, let me preface this with I love it regardless, but I'm just saying, y'all. You don't need to add ham hocks or neck bones to make greens taste good. I said I've had bomb ass greens with just coconut oil and no muke I've had bomb ass greens made with just coconut oil and no meat. At me all you want. It's delicious. I really don't care. Y'all, you don't have to. I mean, I'll eat it. Like, I'll eat it. I was raised on it. I eat it, but you don't need it, y'all. It does not make it taste better.
I don't put ham hocks in my greens, but I will put some smoked turkey next. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a part of the smoked turkey migration. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I've had it all, and honestly, dare I say, bland by its. I'm not bland. Ooh. I'm gonna slap myself on that one. Not bland, not bland. But just try it with no meat and see what happens. It will taste pretty much the same.
I mean, I think you can get away with especially if you have a good roux for your greens, maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The onion, yes. It has to be seasoned well. But my mom would still kill you with talking about there's no meat in the greens. Well, she's like, that's what the ancestors fought for.
Oh, and
that's
Edwina, I love me some meat in my greens, girl. Please let me know when I can
come. Like, my mom
for Thanksgiving. I'll be there.
Let me just text my mom your address because she's going to show up. Like, what did you say about greens?
She better show up with the greens then.
She would. My mom is that girl. We love her around these parts. So before we jump out of the segment, we get to the end of the show. I just wanted to say that we could not address the elephant in the room being me without talking about the one thing that Black people can't seem to get on the same page about. I'm just going to say this because it's my show and I can do what I want around these parts. Sugar goes on grits and it's fucking good. And so is candy corn. And if you got a problem with either of the two, block me back.
You had me and you lost me in the candy corn boom.
I'm not mad at sugar on grits.
Yeah, not mad about it. And but you're actually fucking mad with the candy corn.
I dabble in candy corn. I dabble. I dabble.
Chris, because Chris, like, but do you cut this, Chris? We can't. No.
Chris, you okay, can't do it. No.
I dabble in candy corn, but it's like, okay, I like, because there's candy corn that come in other flavors. Like, I like the apple caramel candy corn.
Yes. See me.
But what I don't like, though, is like, after you have a few pieces, I'm like, this just tastes like sugar-flavored wax. So it's like, you know, it's cute for like a few pieces, and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
James Baldwin said two things can be true at the same time. And yes, they do taste like wax after a couple of ones.
He did not mean candy corn. He did not.
Jules, stop raining on my parade.
You're right. Sorry. No yucks to yums. No yucks to yums. We're all friends here.
Why do you do this to me? But no, I'm genuinely like, say, I just want to be great. And Target has a really good mixed variety of candy corn, even though I only eat like four of them. It's still good. It's still tasty. All right, everybody. Well, I'm going to go ahead and try to maintain my friendship here. We need to take our last break for the commercial. But when we get back, we're going to go ahead and get into our yes ma'ams and our no ma'am pams for the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those, too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Okay, fam, we back. It's time for our yes ma'ams and no ma'am pams this weekend. This week, y'all, I'm gonna keep it on food because I have a huge yes ma'am to my dear friend Michael Twitty, a culinary historian and James Beard Foundation Book Award winner. That's a lot of words. Oh, she got it for publishing his newest book, which will have just come out by the time this episode airs, Culture Soul.
Michael is also a BFF and Jewish, just like me. And this book will explore the cuisine of these diasporas, Blacks and African and Jewish diaspora, and how food shapes the journeys of chefs like Michael. So, Michael, to you, my love, mazel tov, kohok vod to you, my friend. I cannot wait to purchase it, to read it, and to eat for my baby. Yes. Ooh, I'm really excited. And I will say, my no ma'am, Pam, I'm scared to say this because I love this publication, but a recent LA Times article that explores the migration of people of color to the Inland Empire. It's a no man pam to this. I want to be very clear here and say that I do like the article. I do. I like that it features actual families who live in the IE and seem to enjoy it, and it shows their whys of why they're there. That's important because I do know some folks. Do know some folks, some families of color who have moved to the IE, moving deeper to the suburbs and more rural areas. What I am no ma'am pamming is, I don't feel like the story covers the ultimate why. Like, only a few paragraphs in this feature share about the racial segregation in these particular IE cities, and not much attention goes to the racialization of urban cities that led to suburb creations and white flight. And now the gentrification is flipping it to driving people of color back out of cities. And I'm just like, as a writer, I'm upset about the arguably necessary context this piece is missing for the sake of showing the IE as an oasis for people of color. And like, maybe it is. Like, it can be. I love that. I love that journey for the IE. I really do. But share the painful and racialized pathways that led to it, because the piece makes it seem like these folks moved here for funsies and like not survival, when we all know we moved out for survival. So no ma'am pam to that. Love, I like the article, but it wasn't giving what Shiv gave. It needs more.
And real talk, I will say this very lovingly for those of you who live in California and know I am an IE girl down. I live on the outskirts of the Inland Empire, and the reason why I stay here is because I cannot afford to move to LA. And when I say I cannot afford to live in LA, what that means is it's not that I can't afford it, because yes, I can afford it, but there is no way that I'd be able to live at the caliber of what I want to live, meaning being able to drive the car I want, being able to eat out as much as I do, being able to have fun with my friends. I would not be able to have the quality of life that I would want to have if I lived in Los Angeles. And so I think, one, I knew nothing about this article, so I'm going to go read it. But I also think that this is one of those articles, I will say, that it's just an opportunity for somebody to shit on the IE. And that's what people love to do for some reason in this world. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But there are a lot of people who love to shit on the Inland Empire. And a lot of who I am comes out of the IE. And so I think that's the reason why, like, I'm low-key kind of like, I don't know what the word is. Like, I'm on guard a little bit, because I'm like, not you talking about San Bernardino when that's where I was raised. Like, it's really, I don't know. It's just, article, I feel like, go ahead.
This is why I like it, because it does show actual families who live there and why they love it. Like it's not shit on the IE. I'm shaking on the article.
I think it's an undertone. It's not. Okay. I get what you're saying. I get the article. I get it. But there is still something to be said about the way that people write about the IE or how they write about the Inland Empire. And there's always this undertone that it's never good enough than any other place, right? You can live in the OC and it's glorified. You can live in LA and it's glorified. You can live in like parts of like... It's kind of the same way people shit on Fresno, right? It's the same thing, in my opinion. And so I for me, when I hear that, right, I know I need to read the article, and I will. But I think for me, it's one of those things of like, it's just another opportunity for people to shit on the IE, whether it be overtly or covertly. Wanted to ask you, Tariq, what are your yes ma'ams and what are your no ma'am pams this week?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yes, ma'am, to my good friend and creative Rakeem Cunningham, super, super, super talented artist. Please look him up on Instagram. He's always working on really cool things. I had the pleasure to check out his exhibit when I returned from LA this past May. He had an exhibit that was up for a month, really awesome exhibit called Headcanon, which was like a visual take on like anxiety and like the anxiety and OCD and the way those symptoms manifest in life, and his take on it through his visuals are just mind blowing. Love what he does. He does really, really, really stunning, amazing mixed media pieces, and super talented photographer. He shot Ashanti. He shot Dexter. You know, the dance. Yes. So his resume is very long. So I love him. And also to yes, ma'am, to Yanni Blue, super dope, Grammy nominated singer songwriter who I'm actually working on music with right now myself. And we're working on some really cool empowering anthems to really make you feel good in your skin. So we're about to hit the studio next week to record some really hot shit, and I can't wait for y'all to hear it.
Love that.
I can't wait to hear it either.
Also, no ma'am to draining friendships. Friendships that don't necessarily pour into you. And especially now with like with the pandemic and everything going on, it's like our bandwidth is low already. Just from waking up day to day, the bandwidth is low. And we need to really focus and pour into the dynamics and relationships that pour into us, and those who don't, that tend to like more so take and drain from us, really assess those dynamics, see if there could be course correction or see if you need to separate yourself. And, yeah. You know, and part of that is self-care, you know, and I'm doing that myself too. Really analyzing that relationships in my life and really looking at it. It's like, okay, like, do we need to let some of these dynamics go that have been beyond draining, you know?
Yeah.
Or can we course correct? And I think this is the time to really kind of check in with ourselves and really ask ourselves, like, do I have the right people around me right now? And I think it's more important than ever for us to really check in with ourselves and ask that.
It's funny because I'm seeing so many conversations come up about, you know, people always talking about if you're too, you know, if you're not close to me now, don't be close to me when I get there and blah, blah, blah. But I definitely do think that we have a lot of friendships that are taking more from us than what they're giving. And I love that we're seeing so many people become so self-aware of that.
Yes.
So I love that journey for you because I'm also on that journey and I'm very much seeing it as a real thing, especially I'll say this as we're all kind of thriving in our own ways. Like, you know, Joho, you're glowing up in your own way. You know, you're coming back to your glow streak. Like all of us are coming into ourselves in a certain way. And I think that there's really a space and a place and a conversation around what it means to start cutting people off and why that's so important, especially as you grow in your craft and your capacity. So I love that for you. What I'll say for me this week, I wanted to shout out Amara Jones. I will say this before I go into the actual, like, yes, ma'am. So I had a chance to view their documentary at Outfest this year. Blown away. It's very heavy. But there's a documentary that they have done around trans women and the experiences that they had around abortion, and it's absolutely beautiful, but it's also very heavy. So I want to shout them out and say that it's really good. If you get a chance to see it, please watch it. But I also did want to shout them out for being the first Black trans woman to ever receive an award from the National Association of Black Journalists.
Yes,
I'm excited and I love it. However, there's also a frustration point that I have around that. And that's kind of sort of a no ma'am, Pam, but it's also still wrapped up in a yes ma'am. Like, I love that Amara is doing her thing. And I love that she's really calling to the carpet the need to cover more Black trans stories. But it does bug me that it's taking so long for companies and orgs to jump on the bandwagon to say, yes, these stories need to be covered. So shout out to you, Amara, for changing the game and for pushing our stories to the forefront. And I say our because I ultimately, as a non-binary person, I wish that there were more people covering stories that impact me as a non-binary person. So I just want to shout them out. I also wanted to shout out the Dolls. I was at the conference last week, so if you had a chance to see me, yay. If you didn't, so sorry we missed each other. But I wanted to shout out all the Dolls who showed up and showed out last week and didn't let respectability politics keep them from shining. Often when we get into these conference spaces, people tend to like pin up their queerness because they want to fit in. And I saw a lot of girls and dolls and heels and makeup and doing their thing. And I'm just so happy that I'm seeing people live authentically and doing what they need to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. Amen. The other thing that I wanted to say before we wrap the show is my No Man Pams this week is hella petty, but I do not care. I want to say this, I want to say the pineapple drink at Starbucks is nasty.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It is gross. I have had it both ways. There is no reason why that drink should be as gross as it is. I have tried it in so many different facets, variations. I have tried. It's nasty. And I don't know what about it makes it so gross, but it is. Mm-mm. So I just want to say, please take that off of your menu, Starbucks, because it's terrible. And there's no reason why I should have to pay $7.99 for that drink in Vegas. Oh, that's also a part of this. Don't get me started on the upcharging that Vegas is now doing. If any of y'all are going to Vegas, be prepared to pay. They are literally robbing everybody. I'll just say this and then we'll end the show. I paid $49 for a pizza in the hotel. Judge me accordingly.
Oh no, ma'am.
They have a place in the food court of the Caesars and the pizza is $49. So just letting y'all know, if y'all going to Vegas, be prepared to pay for your excursion. All right. Well, with that being said,
I want to know what was on that pizza.
Jesus fingerprints. Yes. So the pizza I got was a meats pizza and I added mushroom to it and it still came up to be $49. And that was for a whole pizza. So yeah, girl, Vegas is just, they're doing whatever they can to recoup, I think, a lot of the stuff that they lost during COVID and we're all paying for. It was $8 for my Starbucks drink and it was $49 for that pizza. And I'm still mad at myself for having to pay for it. All right. Well, with that being said, we are still looking for your thoughts and your feedback and your email. So please send that to the blackfatfempod@gmail.com. You can ultimately, if you go into the actual app and you click on the email link, it'll take you right to the email. So please, if you go into the podcasting app, I should say, and you click on it in our footnotes, you can click on it and send us an email. You can also send us your thoughts via social media by interacting with our post on Instagram and Twitter by using the handle BLK Fat Femme Femme Pod. And that's both on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, please look out for the newsletter that will be coming. I should have some more information about that by episode 7. Yes. That's the hope, is to have more information about the newsletter that we'll be doing around keeping folks kind of, because I think what it is there are a lot of folks who have a lot of questions and a lot of thoughts. And so we're wanting to kind of keep those in the newsletter. And that will kind of, that'll be part of the show for us to kind of stay engaged and stay connected. And also to keep our community lifted. So with that being said, thank you, Tariq, for being here with us. You have no idea how much you inspired us and left all of us feeling lifted. Tell people where they can find you.
Well, first of all, thank you all for having me here. And you guys can find me at theeverymanproject.com, TariqCarroll.com, and at TariqCarroll on Instagram. Yes.
What about you, Joho? Where can the dolls find you?
As y'all know, y'all can find me at Joho Dams across all socials except LinkedIn. But honestly, don't find me there right now because I need some TLC real quick. You can visit my website, www.jordandaniels.com, or find me at some coffee shop opening somewhere, apologizing profusely for ordering my large half-calf ice insert flavor here latte with oat milk because she complicated as fuck.
Baby, the way that people have been dogging on oat milk, just leave us alone and let us drink our drinks in peace. Let her be great,
because she's everything. She's everything.
Yes, yes. Ain't it good? Oat milk is better than everything anyway.
Than any milk. And at me all you want for that, truly.
Please, it's so good. All right, well, as for me, when I'm not looking at the Crumble Cookie website to see what flavor they got for the week, you can find me on social media by using the handle at Dr. John Paul. Or by also visiting my website, www.drjohnpaul.com. We want to thank our producer, Tari Harrison, and all of our team over at iHeartMedia, along with our amazing editor, Chris Rogers, who continues to edit and make this show amazing. That has been another show. Thank you for listening. And please tell your white friends that they don't have to use rap music to start a conversation or connect with Black people. Stay big, stay black, and beautiful. Bye.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.